Turn to Matthew 24:24. Put a marker in 1 John. That'd be 1 John chapter 2. Unless you've been sleeping under a rock, you know that there's a move going on in Lakeland, Florida. Mm-hmm. And this is just one of many that will be coming. And there's all kinds of questions that come up about it, you know, because it looks like on the one hand, you know, if people get saved and genuinely healed, I'm of a nature to think that's God doing the saving, you know. Now, right on, I didn't get very many amens, but anyhow, I can't see the devil leading somebody to Christ. Okay. And I don't find anywhere in Scripture where the devil heals. All right. But right on the other hand, then, if the doctrine being taught is so preposterous to the word compared to the Word of God, then we have to make decisions, you know. You know, and we've been teaching along those lines here at the prayer center. I've taught a few messages on it. One of them was ammunition against deception. Mm-hmm. Another one was the Word and the Spirit agree. Another one was who is your teacher? Dave's taught on it this morning very strong. Okay. But see, the thing of it is, this is just the beginning. You know, you might get all your questions answered on this one, but what's going to happen when God sets you down in wherever you're really called? Maybe you're called to a third world country where they have never even heard of the internet. What I'm saying is, you need an inoculation against deception anywhere you go. How are you going to separate truth? How are you going to keep from following somebody down to Guyana and drinking funny Kool-Aid? None of those people intended to get deceived, and none of them thought they were. Got that? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be there will the eagles be gathered together." But in the part there about lying signs and wonders, notice it's false Christs and false prophets. This is all going to be done in the name of Jesus. He's not talking about Buddhists here. He's not talking about Muslim here or any other. He's talking about people who name the name of Christ. That's through whom the deception comes, okay? Now, I was listening to somebody sent me a portion of an article from a friend that I thought he made a real good point. Now, when it comes to lying signs and wonders, see, I grew up in a denominational camp that believes all the miracles have been done away, all the healings have been done away. There's no such thing as apostles anymore. There's no such thing as prophets anymore. You think they're likely to be moved very much by lying signs and wonders? They think every sign and wonder is a lie. You know? I mean, they're not going to be moved by that. Gold dusting, are you kidding? You know, I don't care what it is. This attack is not aimed at them. And that's the vast majority of Christianity in America. Mm-hmm. Who is this aimed directly at? The Pentecostal charismatic people, the tongue-talking ones, the ones that still believe that miracles are for today, that's the one that this attack is launched after, and that includes you, most likely, if you're listening to my voice. Amen? Amen. Now, we're going to need an inoculation against deception, because when somebody... Again, like Dave has told us for years and years, you know, if the devil showed up in a red suit with a tail and a pitchfork, yeah, and he says, "Hello, I'm the devil. I have come to steal the truth from you," who's going to listen to him? No Christian's going to listen to him. No, he says they come as false Christs and false prophets. Prophets have a word from God, don't they? By definition, isn't that what a prophet is? They've got a revelation. They've got a word from God. All right, He's saying, well, they're going to come in my name. They're going to come appear. They're going to smell like Christian, look like Christian. They're going to talk the talk. They're going to know how to speak to you. And the deception is going to come little by little, just like Jim Martin taught last week. It's, you know, the devil learned this from God. You can't come in all of a sudden and just smack them upside the head with deception. No. It's the same way that God teaches. You know, God teaches line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The devil does exactly the same thing. He's just trying to get you one degree off in the beginning. But then he'll take you another degree off. Then another degree off. And it's so slow and so subtle that after a little while, now he's got you so far off base, you can't even see the truth anymore. And that's what deception is. See, the power of deception, the power of it is, you don't know you're deceived. You don't think you're deceived. You think everybody else is deceived. I used the analogy last week. It applies a little bit here. You know, anyone that lives in Oklahoma knows that in the last year or so, we've had two major ice storms. And, you know, we've cleaned up most of the damage around. I have in my house, too. But we got one big old tree out in the backyard that's so tall. I've got a 20-foot pole saw, and I've reached up as far as I can, but I got two big old limbs hanging up there that I can't reach. And one of them is just hanging by a thread. I mean, it doesn't look to me, from what I can see, there's not an inch left of tree hanging, you know, holding on to that limb. Yet there is still enough life, sap, life flowing through that little connection into the limb that its leaves are green just like all the other limbs. Now that limb, probably looking, if it's, allow me this, as if a limb could see. But if that limb was to look at itself, it goes, I'm okay. Hey, my leaves are green. My leaves are just as green as your leaves over there. You're not any better than I am. But anyone that can see from a different perspective, anyone can look and say, that limb is in big trouble. And every storm that comes through, every time the wind blows, that tree, that limb gets shaken a little more, gets worked a little more, it gets a little bit less attached to the tree. Still thinking it's okay the whole time, but one day, a big wind's going to come. That thing's going to wave in the breeze one last time, and it's going to be separated from the tree, and it's going to wither and die. Isn't that right? That's exactly how the devil does deception. Little at a time, little at a time. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Well, we all know that the branches draw their life from the vine. He comes through little by little, storm after storm, deception by deception, little bit at a time. His goal is one day that last storm will come and he'll separate you from the tree too. See, he's not out to hurt you. He's out to kill you. You got that? All right. Well, what is our inoculation against deception? Go over to 1 John. See, and really we could back up a little more probably if I can find it. See if I can real quick. Yes. It's really after this part. Okay. I'm going to do it first. So start in chapter 4 of 1 John. Because it ties right in with Matthew 24:24. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now most people, this thing that we're about to look at, if they confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh, most people try and use that to cast out devils or to find out if somebody's got a devil. He is not talking about that at all here. And you can tell it by this. Look, he says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false what? Many false prophets. These are teachers in the body of Christ. These are people that come in the name of Jesus. Whether they call themselves a prophet or not, they are telling you, I have a revelation from God. I have a word from God I've come to share with you. And so many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now hereby know you the Spirit of God. And it should be a capital S here. You know, you're going to know whether these guys are from the Holy Ghost or not. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, that means Christ is not Jesus' last name. When it says Jesus Christ, that literally means Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus, the Messiah. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. So he's saying, every spirit that confesses that Jesus is the Christ, you could say it that way, that He is the Messiah, and that He is come in the flesh. In other words, God's Son was manifested as a human. God came in the flesh. If He says that and confesses that, He's of God. But every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is the Christ, come in the flesh, it is not of God. And this is that spirit of an Antichrist, which you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now he goes on, we could teach right there. See, one of the big moves right now going on, it's not just Carlton, all over, everywhere I see it, they're trying to start getting you to think every path leads to God. Doesn't matter, as long as you're sincere and you're seeking after God, doesn't matter if you're Hindu, doesn't matter if you're Buddhist, doesn't matter if you're Muslim, doesn't matter what, as long as you're sincerely seeking after God, all roads lead to God. See, that's just baloney to the tenth power. I mean, that is error to the tenth power. But I'm telling you, multitudes are falling for it. If you don't believe it, tune in to some of Oprah's shows. Just tune in. See, I mean, not only the audience that she has there, but that's going out to millions, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people around the world. And little by little by little, they're all being fed this deception, like little birds with their mouth open, starting to just little by little crack open the door of deception. There won't be too many years down the road then. You don't even need to witness anymore. It doesn't matter as long as so they're Buddhist, so they're Hindu, it doesn't matter. You don't have to lead them to Christ. They're going to heaven anyway. Well, in this same letter here, we're going to get back to where he originally had me. See, people that teach, let's come on down to chapter 5 in the same letter. You need to do the whole letter. This whole letter is about this, but anyway. Oh my. Let's just pick it up here in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Hath made who a liar? God a liar. Why would that make God a liar? Because he believed not the record that God gave of His Son. Well, what record is that? That record is the gospel, by the way. But he says, this is the record, just so you couldn't miss it, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And if that's not straight enough for you, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Does it matter if you witness to a Hindu? I'm asking you. Does it matter? Does it matter if you take the gospel like... Yeah, Aaron's got a website. It's something like, Aaron, preach to the world. Is that what it is?
Well, I don't have a website, that's what it is.
Oh, I thought that's you... Used, oh, that's your email. Aaron, preach to the world. You know, something like that. And it's important that we preach to the world. There is a lost world that has not life. That life is not in Muhammad. That life is not in Buddha. It's not in Confucius. It's not in any other name that is named except the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is the Messiah, who has come in the flesh. By man came the fall, and it was necessary by man came the redemption. It had to be God. Who else could think of such a plan? I myself will be, my son, my life will be clothed in human flesh. And God, as a man, paid the price for man. God, what a great... No wonder the gospel really means good news. God Himself became a man and paid the penalty you deserved. Paid the penalty I deserved. I don't have any righteousness of my own. I'm trying to walk in the righteousness I've been freely given. But it has been freely given. And I'm not trying to make heaven by my merits anymore. I'm making heaven by His merits. Now I'm doing everything I can to learn how to please my Father with a righteous walk. But that's got nothing to do with my entry into heaven. I have a get into heaven free card. And his name, the name on the card, it's signed. I've got an autograph. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. Hallelujah. And it matters that we preach that. Well, this whole letter is like that. But then, now back up, because before John said any of that, here in chapter 2, he talks about this inoculation against deception. Now see, and he's talking about the same thing. Where I want to get to here is the one we always talk about the anointing abiding in you. But let's back up a little. You're familiar with that. So let's back up in John chapter 2 to verse 22. Who is a liar? John's definition of a liar. You know, you go to the dictionary according to John. Look up the word liar. What does a liar mean? He says, oh, a liar? That's he that denies that Jesus... Now, he said it... You see it? Jesus is the Christ. Said it here, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. He is Antichrist, that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. And if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Now all he's talking, this is not, let me finish the verse. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. What he means is the gospel that they first heard, the good news of the gospel, that they believed, they received it, they believed it, they acted on it, they repented, they bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, they got saved. He says, if you stay with that to the end, you're going to be saved. But see, the pressure is on all of them to repent and turn back to the law of Moses, for example, if they were Hebrews, if they were born Jewish and raised under the Mosaic tradition. Well, the whole book of Hebrews is addressed to them saying, you know, the pressure was on. How can you forsake the God of your fathers? We know who Moses is. We know he heard from God. We don't know who this Jesus of Nazareth is. How can you put your faith in him? Reject this Jesus and return to the law and the God of your fathers. That's the very pressure. He's saying, if you'll not turn away from the gospel that has been preached to you, the one that you have received, the one that you have on the inside, if you'll not turn away from that, you'll be saved. Meaning, you can turn away if you want to. I'm sure there were some that did. I'll tell you the only personal experience I have with that. See, this would probably be another lesson, but he's reminding me of this at this point. Well, see, what is that unpardonable sin? Well, when I used to preach in the prisons, which I did for 6 years, I mean, I didn't do it for a month, I did it for 6 years. I have some experience. I was amazed at how many of those inmates thought they had committed the unpardonable sin. And yet they loved Jesus with all their heart. They were so thankful to be saved, but their conscience was so tender, and plus they'd sat under false teaching. So many of them thought, well, they'd said the GD word, so now they'd blasphemed God. Maybe that was the unpardonable sin or other things, you know. Listen, I only know one lady. I know of her. I didn't know her personally, but I know it's real. She grew up in a Baptist church. Was Baptist nearly her whole life. Born again person. She later in life, she fell in love with a Muslim man. And she really fell for this guy. They were dating and he was nice to her and everything. And she just really loved this guy. And he finally invited, you know, they were going to get married. She wanted to get married. And he said, well, in order to marry me, he says, I'm Muslim. And I cannot be married to a Christian woman. And if you want to be my wife, you have to stand up in my mosque and publicly declare that Jesus is not the Son of God. That Allah is God's only prophet. And the Quran is His word. And that you serve Allah all the rest of your life. She did that. She did that. Now, if you do that and you trod, that's what Hebrews warns about. If you trod underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ and count His blood as an unholy thing, there is no other forgiveness. There is no place else to go. That is the unpardonable. There is, you know, I mean, that's it. Well, that's really the same thing here, because what John is warning about are teachers and preachers of that day that would come and say, Jesus is not the Christ. Jesus is not the Messiah. Now, they're not going to get Christians today with that. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. You weren't raised in a Jewish home under the law, were you? Mm-hmm. Most of you were raised in a Christian home. Most of you don't have roots that they can pull on like was going on right there in the first century. So what the devil does now, knowing he can't probably pull that same tactic on you, he just tries to get you off. If he can't keep you from going to heaven, he's going to at least try and mess you up in this life. Yeah. He's going to get you off into preaching a bunch, spending your whole life not really producing anything much for the kingdom, where eventually you just die and wonder where your life went. Never did find your calling. Involved in a bunch of stuff that didn't produce anything. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy to whatever degree we let him. Well, let's get on with this unction. So here he's talking even to them in that first century. And let's pick it up now in verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that what? They were seducers going through the land, even then, false prophets, false Christs. In that day, they were saying, many of them, that Jesus was not the Christ and that he did not come in the flesh. That message right there won't work 2,000 years later to a spirit-filled, tongue-talking church. It just won't work. But what will work is coming in with a bunch of stuff that's, well, an angel told me this, or an angel told me that. What you need to do is get in touch with your personal angel. You know, I have found websites. They're really more New Age than they are Christian. But I have found websites where they give you step-by-step instruction how to find out the name of your personal angel. Oh, yeah. It's almost like a seance, to be honest with you. Don't ask me what they are. I'm not going to send you there. You got to be kidding. You know? But it's not just in Christianity, this whole New Age thing. See? And what those, if you have an encounter with one of those, trust me. I don't care if he says his name is Gabriel. That is a demon. Do you understand me? That is a demon impostering himself as an angel of light. And even though his words, he may King James you just up and down, boy, just sounds so like the Bible, you know. But that is deception coming. All right? Well, John gave us a wonderful promise you can trust in right here. He says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So what he's writing here is concerns them that trying to seduce us. They're trying to lead us down the primrose path. He says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Now, is he doing away with the teaching gift in the body of Christ there? No, he's not. But let me ask you, what if you were stranded on a desert island? You and you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost. Do you think you're not going to be taught any for the next 20 years? You have an anointing. When I first found out really what praying in tongues would do for you, and knowing that I have a fair foundation of the Bible in me, I told Sue, I said, probably the worst that could happen, they'd lock me up in prison for preaching. I can still be taught in prison. Because I can still pray in tongues. I mean, that's really all they really had in the first generation. They had to... You know, they had the Holy Spirit who had to reveal all these things, you know, to them while they was praying. I said, I could still have a great time, even if they took away my Bible, because I can pray in other tongues. I have an anointing that abides in me. It lives in me. I have this new spirit creature from heaven, spawned from the spiritual loins of Jesus Christ, that new man on the inside. And I have His teacher with me all the time. He's the Holy Ghost. And as I allow that teaching, that language to be prayed through me, the Holy Spirit, just like Dave says, it's like my new man comes and sits down in the classroom. The finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard doing the teaching is the Holy Ghost. And man, you could just be locked up and they say, well, we're not going to let you see daylight for 7 days. And part of you goes, glory to God. 7 days alone with the Holy Ghost. I wonder what mysteries we're going to explore today. Wonder what truths he's going to show me today. Say, hallelujah. See, I was kind of like that. I was locked up in a cab of a truck for 10 hours at a time, day after day. And it was like that. I was going to wonder what in the world. Wonder what he's going to show me today. Wonder what mystery, what revelation. And it really happened. All right. So he says, The anointing which you have received of Him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in Him. Now don't separate that from what we just read. What He's telling them plainly, if they'll continue to stay in touch with the Holy Ghost, letting that anointing abide and teach them, they won't separate themselves from Jesus the Christ that He just talked about in the previous verses. They won't wind up going back to Judaism, is what He's saying. They won't fall for the deception that was going on in that day. If we'll stay prayed up, listening to that anointing, that teacher that abides on the inside of us, no matter what kind of deception the enemy throws at the body of Christ, we won't be separated from the vine either. And we will continue to abide in Him. Mm-hmm. Is that good stuff or what? Go to John 14, 15, 16, somewhere right in there. I think it's 16. Yes, John 16. Now, I'm not taking away at all. What I'm about to say here now goes right along with that lesson I did, who is your teacher? Because I know that there are New Testament accounts of encounters with angels. Mm-hmm. Paul had them. Peter had them. Others had them. But see, nowhere does Jesus say, I'm going to send you angels to be your teacher. Mm-hmm. Now, look who He says here is going to be the teacher. He says here in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, I'm sure that sounded funny to their ears. They're probably thinking, yeah, we can. Just go ahead and tell us. But He'd already told them all that He could, talking to spiritually dead people. That's why He spoke to them always, telling them spiritual things in parables. He would try and reduce it down. Oh, it's like a man sowing seed into the ground. Or it's like a man who's out plowing in corn, or he'd try and use some kind of natural example that they could comprehend. And He'd brought them really as far as He could with that method. But until they're born again, until the other side of the cross, like 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, until they receive that Spirit, little s, the one that's of God, they cannot really know the things that are of God, because those things are spiritually discerned. You've got to comprehend them with your spirit first. Your mind can eventually kind of understand it. But ultimately, it's spirit to spirit. God's spirit to your reborn human spirit. See? Alright? He says, well, there's a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of what? The Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you. Everyone say, He. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
He, the Holy Spirit.
He, the Holy Spirit.
Good enough. He will guide you into all truth. Not an angel. Angels are not your teachers. Now, I'm not taking away from the book of Revelations. We have John there, even in the New Testament. And there was an angel standing there. And visions would come and go. And this angel would explain things to him. That is the exception. How many others do you have in the New Testament like that? That's the exception and not the rule. Mm-hmm. And plus, it started off saying, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Do you remember how that book starts off?
Yes.
What you know what in plain English that means? John was praying in other tongues.
Yes.
On the Lord's Day.
Yes.
And that's how that whole thing got generated in his spirit, where he saw this revelation that he recorded for us, and it became the canon of Scripture. But it starts off saying, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What is praying in the Spirit? That's praying in other tongues.
Mm-hmm.
He was worshiping and praying in the Spirit. And this teaching all came forward. But Jesus here plainly says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, this is John 16, 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now, okay, let me finish. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Now, we've taught again, and He will show you things to come. All that really means is, He's not come to replace me as your Lord. Where it says He's not going to speak of Himself, that means He's not come to speak of His own authority. He's not come to replace me as your Lord. What He's doing, The Holy Spirit, the wonderful thing about Him, He's everywhere at once. He's with you individually as though you are the only person on earth. You have exclusive personal access 100% of the time, 24/7, 365 days of the year to the Holy Spirit as though you're the only person on earth. But He is at that same moment with everybody else exactly that way. And at that same moment, He's with Christ in heaven. What He hears from the mind of Christ, what He is bringing, He's not come to be our Lord. He has come to bring us the Lordship of Christ. Not only when it comes to understanding truth, but when it comes to finding your calling. He knows what Danny's called to be. Let me just pick on Danny for a minute. Hey, me and Danny go way back. He came to the old Bible studies in our little living room all those years ago. He was one of he was there the night that prophecy came forward. It was a anyway. that was an unusual night, was it not, sir? But you know, the Holy Spirit knows exactly in minute detail every facet of Danny's life and what He's called him to be. And all Danny has to do is be smart enough to let the words flow out of his lips. Say, Danny, do you know exactly what your calling is? No, I don't. Do you know anyone that does? Yes, I do. It's the Holy Spirit. Do you know how to find out what He knows? Yes, I do. How would you do that? I would allow Him to pray that mystery through me. Then the only other question, you don't have to answer, Danny, because I'm not asking them. Well, are you doing that? You don't have to answer. I'm not asking them. Are you doing it?
Yes.
Like Dave says, you know, if we fail, whose fault is that? He's made us almost failure-proof, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to know. We don't have to be smart. We don't have to. All we have to be is smart enough to allow God Himself, God the Holy Ghost, to pray through us so the other two members of the Godhead can receive and answer that prayer. My. If we fail, I'm pretty sure it's our fault, you know. Yeah. Oh, my. But we do have. Now, the point of tonight is you do have an inoculation against deception. There's times that I have, not so much now, but in the early days, and I'm sure it will happen again. See, I hardly ever sit anywhere. If you was here Wednesday night, the end result of that, I don't know what title they put on that when Jim Martin taught it, but it should be something like that. Stop listening to false doctrine. I mean, is that plain enough? Turn the TV off. Stop it. Quit it. Because it'll kill you. A little bit at a time, it's going to get you off, see?
That's right.
Stop it. And, I mean, you know, Jim was a lot nicer than that, but that was the, and he quoted Paul, from such turn away. From such, separate yourself. Over and over again, teaching this false doctrine stuff. But see, sometimes you don't know what is false doctrine. That's where this lesson comes in. I have been in services, not so much recently, because I've turned them off. I just don't listen to it anymore. But I'm sure there will be situations where I will be. And I've had it happen before. I know what it feels like. My mind may not be able to tell why that's wrong, but something in my gut tells me that's wrong. And at least it lets me put it up on the shelf. I'm not going to swallow that like I used to, like a little bird all the time with my little mouth open. You know, because sometimes they're dropping in little worms. To a bird, that's good, you know. But every now and then, be a stick. You know, I don't. And they say, well, spit the sticks out. That's not easy when you don't know what the sticks are.
That's right.
That's the hard part, see. You don't know what the sticks are. I'd spit them out if I knew it was a stick. You have an unction in you that will let you know it's a stick. You may not know why it's a stick. You may not know why it's wrong. But there's an unction, an anointing. There's a knower way down on the inside of you. And boy, if that goes off on the inside, then you need to, okay, we're going to take what that guy said. I don't even know for sure why, but I ain't not acting on that. I'm putting that over here on the shelf, and I'm going to study that out and meditate that out and pray that out until I know one way or the other. I don't swallow every little thing. I don't care if they're on TV. I don't care if they have worldwide ministries. I don't care if signs and wonders are operating through them. And again, I want to remind you of one more. The best analogy that I see of what's going on down in Lakeland, I cannot help but remember William Branham. And if you'll read history, I mean, there's no denying the miracles that came through this man. I mean, The secular media of the day did their best to discredit the miracles, and they could not discredit the miracles. I mean, there was just no denying it. Absolute healings and all kinds of miraculous things. But his doctrine got so far off, and it was progressive, little by little by little, that I got to hear two of his messages a long time ago that somebody loaned me. I should have made copies of them, but I didn't. But I listened to those two messages. I'll go ahead and tell you one, just because otherwise you won't have a clue what I'm... On one of them, I heard with my own ears, he said, "Well, women are a lower class of being than a dog." Than a dog or an animal. And, well, yeah, this was his reasonings. Well, animals, like man, were a unique creation made from the dust of the earth. So they had their own creation from God. But woman was just taken from man. She's not even, she didn't have her own unique creation. She's not as high a creature even as a dog. Boy, the women are not looking happy as I look around the room. Now, would you allow me that? Oh, well, let me go ahead and tell you what. I don't know if he was the first one, but he was a main, he may have been. Have you ever heard of the doctrine of the serpent seed? Never heard of that?
Yeah.
He preached it all the time. Whether he originated, I'm not sure, but I heard him teach it. Well, in that doctrine, Eve had relations, physical relations with the devil, and that offspring was Cain. And Cain's line is the serpent seed that's still in the earth today. And then Seth's line is the line of God. Now, I'm only bringing that, would you agree with me that's probably false? I mean, you know, we're not rocket scientists here, but I've got a pretty good idea that's false doctrine. Yet, when it came service time, when it came time for the healing line, when it came time for the anointing, you could not deny the miracles. God would flow. And of course, the question is why? Listen. Even then, they came up with this. Even then, you can follow his faith, but you cannot follow his doctrine. You understand that? Now, the gifts of the Spirit work through babies. Please understand that. What does Paul say about the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians? He says, "You're just babies. You're carnal, split, divided. I can't give you even a hamburger. I can't give you meat at all. I have to give you milk. You're such babies." Yet, what book is it where we have the most information about the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians, the same book. And in chapter 1, he says, "You come behind in no gift." You got that? Just because signs, it's people's faith that allows those signs and wonders to flow through. You understand? That does not validate their doctrine. Dowie's a good example, like Dave said this morning. Was it Dowie? Hang on, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Was it Dowie he was talking about this morning? No, Joseph Smith, thank you. Yeah, Dowie thought he was Elijah to come. Okay, Joseph Smith, he got so far off, he thought when he died, he was the Holy Spirit. He thought he was the Holy Spirit. I wish somebody would ask him a question. Be in two places at once. I want to see you. He thought he was the Holy Spirit. I don't know how in the world he could think that, but he did. End of this lesson. You have an unction from the Holy One. You have an anointing that abides on the inside of you. The more you pray in other tongues, the stronger that anointing is.
Amen.
And when you feel, when you're in a service anywhere, I don't care if it's one of mine, if that anointing goes off on the inside of you and you say, "I don't know about that. There's something in you that way down deep that says, I'm not sure about that," don't swallow it. You set it on the shelf. You let the Holy Spirit, you get meditating in your Bible. You meditate it out, and I mean in whole subjects. Do what you've been taught. Pray in other tongues. Mm-hmm. Be honest with you, you're only walking in the truth that's really been revealed to you anyway. It's hard to live on another man's faith. Have you found that out yet?
Yes.
You need a relationship with the Holy Ghost and with the Lord yourself.
Amen.
I'm looking for the day when I can sit down and listen to your testimonies how God delivered you. over and over. You know, whatever your calling is, if you're called to make the millions, I want to hear some of the testimonies about how the Holy Ghost led you into it. You know? If you're called to win Canada, I'm looking forward to the day I can hear how the Holy Ghost led you into it. If you're called to win Baghdad, I don't want to prophesy anything to him. He says he'll go. But we have an unction. It doesn't matter if you're on the other side of the planet, on a desert island, you and the Holy Ghost, you can go to the university. What do you just call that? PCU. Mm-hmm. Prayer Center University.
Amen.
You and the Holy Ghost, I don't care where you are, you can attend the pinnacle of all universities. Yeah. Be taught by Him yourself. You have an unction, an anointing of truth that abides on the inside of you. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.